You're listening to Magic Indulgence from More Than, the insurer that does more.
London's Magic 105.4, it's our Sunday Indulgence programme. I'm Paul Fear, and our guest tonight is the instantly recognisable man with a big personality, a big voice, and he's a big man himself. It is Brian Blessed.
Oh, the truth will make you free. What you say is absolutely true. I mean, there's no end to my talents. I have to say, gentlemen, it's great being here because, I mean, I listen to all kinds of programmes, get Radio 4, the whole lot, Classic FM, but I do listen to your programme regularly. I find that also, you know, that of course it's soothing and it's wonderfully pleasant and stimulating, but I also find it very educational. So suddenly you get tunes in it that I'd not heard for a long time.
Right.
That, of course, are ageless and belong to any time. They're even futuristic. They're modern. But I find that your programme very instructive. And I would say that it gives me more peace and happiness than any other programme.
Well, that's delightful to know. And one thing we find, actually, Brian, is that when we survey our audience, we have people from all areas of life, from quite young people that we think wouldn't be listening to our station.
Really?
Yeah, right through all the ages. Yeah. And you've picked out some wonderful songs from the Magic Playlist. And in fact, yes, I think we should get the first one on, which is We Have All the Time in the World by Louis Armstrong. What a fabulous song that is to start. Would you like to talk about it a little?
Well, I just think that we do have all the time in the world. Because for me, I mean, not to sound too esoteric, that death doesn't exist, that life is the last word. And therefore, we all rush in this day and age. Armstrong himself, of course, is a wonderful, extraordinary, charismatic singer and personality. In my youth, I used to go and watch him and see him,
right.
Yes.
Because he did tour the UK quite a lot.
He did. I went to America. I saw him in America as well, at different venues there. Even at Radio City. I saw him at Radio City in America. But I think we do have all the time in the world. We're in rush here, rush there, quick there, get to this, get to that, the caravan to nowhere. And we have plenty of time to climb Mount Everest, got plenty of time to go across the deserts, or to do whatever we want to do in life. Do we follow our own dreams? And I feel it's about reassuring people that, you know, we are ageless and timeless, that we've always existed and always will, that our life is limitless.
Beautiful. Thank you for that. Louis Armstrong there with We Have All the Time in the World, the first choice from the Magic Playlist of our guest on the programme this evening, Brian Blessed. You are obviously a music lover of all types, and you've appeared in quite a few musical shows yourself, haven't you? Cats.
I have, yes, because I was trained operatically. I mean, there's a reason I did Pavarotti and the Stars in Their Eyes. But I was actually offered a total operatic career. I was at Bristol Old Vic Theatre School as an on-singer. And I said, I can't sing, there's no point. It was part of the curriculum, part of the training. I said, I'll do more movement. It was judo, fencing, movement and ballet and this and the other. They said, no, singing is the finest training for the voice, which of course it is. Anyway, I couldn't sing a note. And then Mrs. Moody, who was in charge of the Welsh Opera, said, look, Brian, you with your chest and your voice, you must be able to sing. And she said, I'll play this note. Now, just imagine a farmer, you're a farmer and someone's stealing your lambs. Just shout, oi! And then I did it, played it. Hoi! And within 6 weeks, I was singing Wagnerian tenor.
Wow.
Dramatic tenor. And at that time, Birgit Nilsson and Nikolai Geder, sounds so bracking this. Nikolai Geder and Birgit Nilsson were in Bristol at the Hippodrome. And Mrs. Moody said, would you come and listen to this man, Brian Blessed? I was 19. And I sang for them. And I sang with Birgit Nilsson. For being a non-singer. And they said, you leave now. You leave the Bristol Old Vic Theatre School, I'm afraid, and come to La Scala, Milan, and we'll make you a dramatic tenor. You're not lyrical. We'll make you a dramatic tenor, and you'll have a huge career as a dramatic tenor at La Scala, Milan. I said, well, I love opera, but it's not a must. And I've always not regretted it, but how many lives can you lead?
Yeah.
But I've always kept up my training, as you can hear in my voice now. That's why I have the voice I have. I train every day. I do all the scales. The whole thing. Actors, I think, are lazy about their voices. I admonish them and kick them up the arse and say, you know, you really do have to work on your voice. If you're going to do Hamlet, are you? What, 7 days a week, 8 days a week? You're going to do Hamlet? You're going to do Othello? Oh, you're not. you'll vocally break down. And you'll get husky voices very quickly because they're vocally inadequate. And the greatest training is opera. God, that was a long story, wasn't
it? I hope you have a remote house where you do all this voice practising.
I do. I have a great big hut outside, a big thick hut with great acoustics. But I mean, and consequently, the only things I can really do singing-wise, if I was in Cats, and Deuteronomy was, of course, it's very operatic. But Weber always says the addressing of Cats is the, at the end, which I sang at Deuteronomy, is the hardest song he ever wrote, because it goes from bass C to top C in one line, projected.
Wow,
and
yeah.
You can't, not a con. Mm. That was always cut out when the others took over, which has, but I could actually do the full range, which was great. So I did that, did Metropolis, Hard Times, The Villain in Metropolis, and the most happy fellow with the BBC Symphony Orchestra, Frank Lesser's happy fellow, Tony the Italian. And of course, Chichi Bang Bang recently, yeah. And so forth. So, but it has to be quite operatic.
Well, here's a man who I don't think has quite that range, but he has a lovely voice. You've chosen Phil Collins and In the Air Tonight.
Yes, yes, indeed. Well, I met Phil. I did the voiceover of the villain in Tarzan, and I am Clayton, the terrifying villain who kills the gorillas and fights Tarzan at the end.
This is the Disney animation.
Film, isn't it? I'd been recording it for 2 years. I remember I went there one day and they're all weeping. 300 people worked on my character, on fingers and nose, and he was 8 feet tall with a great big jaw. And they were all in tears one day when I went over to America, L.A. Why? Because Roy Disney said, I want another 2 inches taken off the chin. His chin's too long, you know. So, and the extraordinary thing was I was leaving the studio I met Phil because he was doing all the songs in the film. Wonderful songs in Tarzan. He sings them wonderfully. A very vibrant and exciting artist, Phil. I was leaving the studio and the Tarzan couldn't do the yodel. And he just couldn't do it. And I said, well, I'm just going to go and catch him. Incidentally, we always did the Johnny Weissmuller films, black and white films, we always did the yodel. I said, I can do it for you if you want. What? So I probably can't do it now. I mean, listen, and God, you were shocked. What? God damn it. Would you sign a contract? So I signed a separate contract for the bloody yodel. So they came downstairs, got solicitors, and now they signed a bloody, would you believe that? I signed a bloody contract, love, for the yodel. It's not easy to do, actually. But we could all do it as kids. Anyway, sorry, this is nothing to do with Phil Collins. But Phil, I think he sings this wonderfully. I love his singing. I love his voice. He's got a great attack and abandonment and sexy. It's a terribly nice man.
That's great. Thank you. With us tonight on Indulgence is a man who has lots to talk about because his appetite for life is quite enormous. You've, Brian Blessed, you've walked to the North Pole. You've been up Kilimanjaro into the Venezuelan jungle. And three times... never quite got to the top of Everest, is that a...
Yes, I know. I do. It doesn't rankle at all. I mean, I suppose you can say there's more to a mountain than a summit. I mean, mountains all over the place. I think in 1990... I'm going back next spring and I'll get up, without doubt, and I'll be eldest European, but that's not why. I like pushing back the envelope and opening up the envelope, yes, of what's considered impossible. I never use oxygen, but when I went my highest...
Hold on, you don't use oxygen?
No, wow. I've never have.
Okay.
No, I just don't need it.
Because you, and have,
I, well, I just feel,
because you have a big capacity in your chest.
I just feel that you're using artificial apparatus. I mean, look, Tenzing and Hillary, when they first climbed it, or unless Maori climbed it in 1924, we don't know, it's a great mystery. And Tenzing and Hillary, they were the first to climb it, so they climbed it. And I've never said this before, but I actually don't think Everest was climbed until 1978, much later. And Coronation, and it was climbed by Rhino Mesner and Habler without oxygen.
Right.
And I always...
So you really do think that taking oxygen up a mountain, cheating, basically?
I don't know. No, it's not cheating, it's aiding. It's aiding.
Right. Okay.
If you use oxygen on Mount Everest, you're reducing its height by 3,000 or 4,000 feet. And I didn't want that, and I want the ultimate challenge. When I went to 28,500 feet... and I could touch the summit, and I was going brilliantly. And I was 57, it was my birthday. And I met a Catalan climber who was dying coming down. He got five children. He begged me to help him, and he was on auction. His auction was breaking down. I knew there was auction 1,000 feet further down, and I looked at the summit, and I looked at him, and of course...
There's no choice.
You've got no choice. No, you've got to help the guy. And I got him down. I forgot all about the summit. And I got him to the auction and got him down, eventually got him down to the South Col, and that's why. And that meant more to me than getting to the summit. But, I mean, but adventure, I feel, the key to this millennium is adventure. I think the greatest danger in life, people say, isn't it dangerous going to Mount Everest? I think the greatest danger in life is not taking the adventure. And that's on. And therefore, I'm going back, and I'm going to go into space. And I'm doing space training at the moment in Space City, Moscow, with my intention to go to the International Space Station next spring. So I'm doing all this training. I believe in space. I think we're imploding. We've got to get out there. We've been dragging our heels since Apollo 19. So adventure is very, very dear to me.
Brian, you mentioned going back to Everest, and that's the title of a lovely song you've chosen by the great Dusty Springfield, right?
Yes, I just think it's a wonderful song of going back, or rather going back to the future. I suppose you see in the song embracing all the ideals that we all have, ideals that are timeless, that never change. But more to that, I did The Three Musketeers in black and white in the late 60s with Jeremy Brett, who, of course, was Sherlock Holmes, and until he died, the best Sherlock Holmes, I think, certainly flamboyant Sherlock Holmes. And he was D'Artagnan. And he suddenly burst into the studio one day with tears in his eyes and said, "I've just heard the most lovely song I've ever heard in my life by Dusty Springfield, Going Back."
Lovely place to play it, OK.
Can you just see a line into Indulgence Extra?
Yes, OK. We'll have more conversation with Brian Blessed, our guest on Indulgence, tonight after we hear his fact file in this week's Indulgence Extra. Sunday night, Magic 105.4. So much to talk about with our guest tonight. It is Brian Blessed, and you've recently become involved in looking for images of this wonderful country that we live in. And there's so many to choose from, aren't there?
There are. I'm doing this Microsoft campaign. I'm president of. I've been president of national parks now for about 7 years. The president, and our parks are doing wonderfully well, and I think it's nice combining work and pleasure with this project, because we don't celebrate Britain enough. It's all doom and gloom and booze Britain. That's not true. Young people are doing marvellous things. And being the president of the national parks, our parks are doing wonderfully. We're an example to the rest of the world, the length and breadth of Britain. And I've been all over it, all over Britain, as much as one can. There's still lots to see.
Sure.
But opera, art, sport, landscapes. We're second to none in the world. And I feel that we don't celebrate it. We don't beat the drum enough. It's a sensational country. People always want to come to Britain. There's a great gravitas about it. Some other spine in the mountains in God's country, Scotland. And going right through the moors and the Lake District and down to the Nestors, the mountains of Wales. And so then Dartmoor next month, and the Norfolk Broads. So it's a sensational country with great history. And we've got Shakespeare. I mean, the planet has had its author, the blue planet. We're greedy to want another. 15,700 words vocabulary. Shakespeare's not the past. We haven't caught up with him. We've not yet done him justice. All our vocabulary is Shakespearean. He invented our English language. He invented it. And we haven't caught up. And so the kind of country vibrates somehow with kind of art and sport. And I feel that, therefore, this, you know, this icons that Microsoft are doing embraces what I feel, you know. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it.
So what are you asking
people to do? And I'm
asking
the audience to choose 100 images. Mm. They choose, well, they've got 10 categories. And, you know, they've got 10 categories, and they've got to choose their favourite image. Whether it's sport or personality, you get onto this website. What's the website called? Here we go. I never can remember this website. Where is it? There we go, Miel. So you log on to iconicbritain.co.uk. iconicbritain.co.uk. Forgive me, I'm not very technical. And I'll be judging the top 100 images out of those submitted by the public. And choosing the overall winner with lots of judges and wonderful Joanne Lumley and things like that.
And it's so easy these days, isn't it, to just click and drag a photograph. If you have a digital camera and a PC and access to the internet, click and away you go.
And it'll give you all the different categories. It's from news, you know, to wildlife, British holidays, sport, art, and etc. Culture, and vistas, and so forth. So you can post in or enter the website Snowdon if you want, or the St. Paul's, or you know,
or even.
Or Sean Connery, whatever, or the Beatles.
Just whatever's personal to you, whatever you feel is about.
My personal thing for me, I think I would be the Spitfire. The image of the Spitfire, because it saved, it defeated the Luftwaffe. Yeah. With its six Browning guns and its three cannons on it, and that terrorised the Luftwaffe. And I was given a little Spitfire as a boy, and that saved this country, that defeated the Luftwaffe.
Well, we're going to have a song from one of this country's finest singer-songwriters, been going for such a long time, Elton John. You've chosen Candle in the Wind.
Yeah, I think Elton John, you know, excites me. A brilliant artist. I don't like the word genius because that's all rubbish. I mean, everyone says genius. It's bandied about. But he's a great artist. Tremendous guy. And I think such an adorable, lovable creature, Elton. And I think that, you know, the way the nation felt about Princess Di dying, which was so tragic and so forth, and one suddenly saw the kind of care and romanticism, and it wasn't sentimental, of the people coming out and expressing their love for someone. And how does one express it? And I think Elton John expresses it beautifully in Candle in the Wind.
Beautifully done. Thank you. It's the Sunday Night Indulgence. I'm Paul Fear, and it's a real joy to be with Brian Blessed on a programme this evening. And I think that you were one of the greatest guest hosts on Have I Got News For You, up there with Bruce Forsyth, who did a wonderful job. And Alan Duncan, MP, I think, will never forget being told to shut your face. Would you do that for me? Would you?
Shut your face! I think Alan Duncan, it was wonderful having this Tory MP. You know, are you making president of the world, wouldn't you? He's such an adorable politician. And he was ill with laughter all the way through. I think I'd suddenly thought, well, I thought, what can I do with this show? And then suddenly, when he suddenly said he was gay, well, I'm gay. Said, you're what? You're gay? Oh, but that's it. I wouldn't be on this bloody programme, and I know that. To Paul Merton, did you know he was gay? Nobody told me he was gay. Oh, God. And I pretended to faint and drink. And I was away then. So every time he opened his gob like that, shut your face. You interrupt me again. I'll chin you. Because he's the most harmless, sweet creature. And I think he totally fell apart when I talked about, which I won't, was the watershed. But when I talked about crapping on Everest. Because Paul Merton said, tell me what's it like, you know, the toilets on Everest.
Cold,
and I started off by saying, well, first of all, can I give you advice? Don't camp. Always make sure you camp above the French, because they will crap on you from a great height. I've been on the Lhotse face, 4 miles up, approaching the summit of Everest, and I've got seven French climbers above me, and they just undid their pants and unloaded right on top of me, you dirty sods. So always make sure you camp above the French, or get ahead of them. But I did talk about crapping generally, in a particularly crap story, which left Alan Duncan in hysterics.
And we had to stop
the show.
I think.
We had to stop the show for 10 minutes because he became legless, and so did the audience. And then when I told the story about the turd on the shoulder being blown up in the wind, when I told that story, you know, Paul then said, "I don't know whether it was wise for me to ask that question, Brian." Well, you did ask, because toilets on Everest are pretty awful. But I enjoyed. It's oddly because it was a great adventure for me, being on Have I Got News For You, and I was able to be myself totally, and have a lot of fun, and I'd almost be Rabelais, as the French would call it, Rabelais, wouldn't they? And totally, completely, nothing false about me. I just totally was Brian Blessed, enjoying myself enormously, and I could do anything what I wanted. What I regret was I didn't stand on the table and shout, Gordon's alive. Because it helps Gordon's alive, because you've got the British Prime Minister. Everyone seems to be called Gordon. The Prime Minister's having a terrible time. But all I can say is, Gordon's alive, you know. And we're away, because the director didn't know what the hell I was going to do next. You know,
I think I know how it feels, actually.
I don't think I've ever enjoyed myself so much on television in all my life.
Well, I think we'd like to see the full recording of that and not just the 30 minutes that made it onto the television. Here's Queen now with A Kind of Magic, another choice from my guest Brian Blessed. It's Sunday Night Indulgence on Magic 105.4, and our guest is Brian Blessed, who chose a Queen song, It's a Kind of Magic, and you actually appeared in a film called Flash. You've done several films over the years.
Well, I think that's lovely also, you know, that A Kind of Magic is the name of your programme. And yes. It's, I'm loving being on this programme because I love your programme. It's absolutely fabulous. Well, I think that Queen, we know how sensational they are. I think I was in Flash Gordon playing Prince Voltan, Gordon's Alive and all that, and I thought their music is sensational in the film. Their music's always sensational. I know there's the Gordon's music, but I thought that the nostalgic music, when Flash is unconscious and Dale's unconscious in the rocket at the beginning, that lovely, nostalgic, romantic music. And then when Flash is going to die later on, and he's kind of stripped to the waist and he's going to be gassed, it's a great tableau scene. That music comes in again. Mm. This strange, nostalgic...
You're making me want to see that film again.
And you see this nostalgic music. Yeah. It is so amazing. I think they make the most amazing sounds. And a kind of magic. It is a kind of magic. I think Queen are absolutely... totally unique with their music.
Certainly were. Certainly still are in many ways, of course.
And so it was great doing Flash Gordon.
And Spandau Ballet next with True, a lovely romantic song. Are you a romantic man, Brian Blessed?
Very, very romantic, yes. I'm very, very soft, very, very, very romantic.
Married for a very long time.
I'm doing a dog programme where you choose your own dog at the moment, you know, a BBC thing, you know, living on BBC. And I've had to choose. I had to choose a dog out of many dogs.
Oh, impossible!
It's a great big dog with great big brown eyes. And, oh, I'm softer because I find great difficulty being here because my little Jack Russell, when I live, adores me and screams when I leave until I get home again. She loves me so much. So I'm very, very soft. I always think of Martin Kemp. So this song always shakes me because Kemp had, you know, a tumour of the brain.
Yes,
he had it out. And whenever I meet him, which is very rare, I did a film recently with him, he wants to get home to his children as quickly as possible.
Sure.
Once he's finished, he's home to his children. So he's a family man.
Yeah.
And the fact that... he has such a cheerful outlook and a belief in life. And he's fearless. And he had a very large tumour taken out of his head. I think, for me, it's kind of that guy's my religion. He's fearless. And therefore, I think that kind of True is what Martin is. He is True.
Lovely. That's really beautiful.
Don't do the wrap-up with him.
Okay. Right. Brian Blessed has been our guest for the past hour on Magic 105.4, and it's certainly been a wonderfully entertaining time meeting you, Brian, just how I imagined and hoped it would be. So thank you very much for being with us. And I think we should remind people about the images you're looking for, the iconic images of Britain. Just remind us of that website again, would you?
Well, the website is, here I am being brilliant as usual, iconicbritain.co.uk.
And you'll be judging some of these
I'll be judging 100 of those images with Joanna Lumley and lots of other luminaries. You know that she's gorgeous. I'd like to have her on my own, actually, without the other judges. But we'll be judging, you know, the final kind of 100, and then we'll boil it down to 10, and then eventually 1.
Right. And I think people will win a prize, in fact, won't they?
They do. They win a prize. They win a camera. Yeah. They win a Nikon camera. Yes, they win. They all win prizes. There's lots of prizes.
It's all wonderfully good. And so's your last song, which is ABBA and his Dancing Queen. Dancing out of the studio with us tonight, it's Brian Blessed and his final song choice, ABBA, with Dancing Queen. What an amazing life you've had, Brian, and I feel there's plenty more for you still to be done. You touched on briefly going into space.
Yes, I'm going to space. I've done my initial training at Space City with Putin watching. I've done a centrifuge and all that, Hydra and this, that and the other, and I've been in a MiG-29, MiG-25, and been going to different Gs and so forth. I'm training with Catherine Destoux-Taville from France, a great woman climber, with a view to, because I believe in space, that we're the children of stardust. Mm. We need to get out there. And I'm doing training at 71 years of age for going into space.
Fantastic. Look forward to seeing you in space. Let's meet you out there. Brian Blessed, thank you for being our guest on Indulgence tonight.
It's a pleasure.
Priceless.
Gordon's alive?
Gordon's alive, please.
Gordon's alive! Ah, well, who wants to live forever? Squadron 40, dive!
You've been listening to Magic Indulgence with More Than, indulging you with its personal customer manager service. You can download this interview in full at magic.co.uk/podcasts.